Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. More than ever before, consumers, employees, and investors share a common purpose and a passion for companies that do well by doing good. So any strategy without sustainability at its core is just plain irresponsible, bad for business, bad for shareholders, and bad for the environment. In his new book, Strategy for Sustainability, author Adam Werbach argues that sustainability is now a true competitive strategic advantage, and building it into the core of your business is the only means to ensure that your company and your world will survive. Adam Werbach is global CEO of Saatchi & Saatchi S, specializing in the field of sustainability. Adam, thanks for being with us here today.
It's great to be with you.
Well, let's go right to the heart of the matter. What do you mean by sustainability? That word has had some changes in meaning recently.
I wrote the book Strategy for Sustainability with the very simple idea of creating a business strategy around sustainability, creating a model for how you could use sustainability as a better means of running a business as opposed to something that's just good to do, philanthropic, or compliance-oriented. To understand what sustainability means, I will give you first my very easy definition, which is sustainability in a business context means having the tools to run your business for the long haul.
Okay.
It means your business is going to be around for a long time.
Right.
If you go back before 1987, that's basically the definition businesses use, sustainable earnings, sustainable business. In 1987, the United Nations came out with a definition of sustainable development, meeting the needs of the current generation without compromising the needs of future generations. And that was quickly conflated with environmental sustainability, protecting the planet, the water, the air, our climate, which are all very important issues.
Yeah.
That became very popular. And what ended up happening is businesses started adopting environmental strategy, calling it sustainability, and trying to run their business on that basis. And as you know, you can't run your business on environmental strategy alone unless you're a solar panel company or an energy efficiency company. You need something broader, something that has all four dimensions of sustainability: social, economic, environmental, and cultural. In that case, as I define it, sustainability in the business context is really all about preparing to run your business for the long term.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this long-term perspective. That's another problem, isn't it? A lot of companies think only in the short term, even after this recession.
Companies that think about the short term only do so at great risk to themselves. We've watched bubble after bubble in the global economy come and go. People who have lived through them tend to not want to live through them again. Hopefully, we'll use this great moment to begin to reevaluate the way we run businesses.
Exactly. So what should organizations do?
I call this a STAR analysis, looking at those changes happening in society, technology, and natural and human resources.
Mm-hmm.
In order to survive these massive changes that are coming in these three areas, you need to think about sustainability, how you can tie your business to those changes rather than trying to protect yourself from those changes.
Right.
Trying to build yourself up so strong and so inflexible, those changes can't knock you off. The truth is, those changes are coming. There's going to be massive changes in demographics of society. There's going to be massive technological changes. And then we'll see resource constraints that will force every business to evaluate the way it uses natural resources.
Adam, it seems what you're saying is you really have no choice but to think long term, because 6 months from now, you have no idea what will happen.
Yeah, just watch what's happening with businesses that we're very familiar with. There was recently a chart in the New York Times looking at the record industry. In 1999, you saw the peak sales. This is 10 years ago. Of course, they were selling CDs at that time.
Right.
Today, the CD market is dropping more rapidly than a dime off the Empire State Building. We've seen a technological shift that has thrown record companies for a loop. So you see a very mature industry, something that actually had its peak year right before its fall.
Hmm.
Things are changing very rapidly. So the question is, how do you prepare yourself? How do you build a business that is ready to adapt to massive changes as they come?
All right. I see a problem with developing a long-term perspective. It has to do with executive compensation. How do you change compensation so it truly rewards people for long-term effort?
Executive compensation, and frankly, compensation throughout the organization, is absolutely critical.
Yep.
There are some very simple standards, of course, focused on pay for performance, making sure that payouts basically go over a number of years. You actually see the effect of the deal choices people are making over that time. Those sorts of changes are really important.
Right.
Endemic to that is also understanding how it builds engagement throughout the organization. Right now, we're watching top earners mess with the entire organizational dynamic. Bringing the compensation paradigm into line is one part of an engagement strategy.
Certainly, it will remotivate employees if they feel they're rewarded for effort instead of position or length of service with a company. What about today when money is short and you have a long-term idea, a project that will require some time to show its worth versus a short-term, less ambitious project? Isn't it going to be difficult to get companies to put that money where the longer effort is?
Right now, we're seeing lots of companies prepare for long-term decisions. We're in a capital-constrained moment right now. So companies that have intended to invest in retrofitting their capital assets have held back on that.
Sure.
And that's an appropriate decision based on the type of demand output we're seeing. But you can see underneath a deep policy change in capital guidelines and spending guidelines. This is a very underreported story, but every capital formation committee that I know in Fortune 500 companies has altered those capital standards in the last 18 months. They've actually looked at them, and they're bringing more and more into their consideration. These new liabilities and these new constraints around resources.
Very interesting.
So they have new capital plans. They have new capital hurdles because of sustainability, and they haven't yet implemented them.
Right.
But when capital begins to flow again, those will begin to be implemented. I know lots of projects that are just waiting for the capital to be there, that are prioritized, they're ready, they're approved, that will start flowing out as soon as the economy, actually as soon as the credit markets begin loosening up.
Well, I think both of those issues, executive compensation and long-term perspective, fall on the shoulders of leaders.
That's right. Leadership plays an absolutely essential role. And the question is, what type of leader do you want to be? Will you be a leader who will one day be marched off in handcuffs? Or will you be a leader that's looked back on as having built a legacy for your company and more broadly for the community and the planet? We are seeing a new generation of leaders now who see sustainability and these broader social, cultural, and environmental issues really tie into their management style. So they are managing with purpose as opposed to just with dictate. They are motivating their people, and particularly they're recruiting a new generation of workers who are choosing to work for companies that have purpose right at the center.
Let's talk about the actual process of identifying a strategy for sustainability. How do you begin?
We spoke a little bit earlier about a STAR analysis, looking at changes in society, technology, and natural and human resources, which is very simple, and you can do it on a piece of paper, you can do it by sharing links with your management team, or you can do it through a longer insights process.
Right.
Having a good sense of what those changes are and what the scenarios are in this changing world is absolutely essential.
Right. So could you expand on that, please?
Well, absolutely. The first step is to help set a North Star goal for your company, a goal that's not exactly a BHAG, but something that instead is tied to solving a global human challenge, as well as something that's core to your business, something that's actionable by everyone in your company, something that's tied into the core of your strengths as a company, and something that would be stretchy enough to make a difference if you achieved. That North Star goal helps to cohere the company around a purpose and tie the company's financial goals to the type of change in society that we're seeing. For example, Toyota has a North Star goal of creating cars that never crash and clean the air as they drive.
Yeah.
I haven't quite reached it yet, but you can see how that ties into what they're doing with the Prius.
Right.
Walmart has three North Star goals. One to be powered 100% by renewable energy, two to produce zero waste, and three to sell only products that sustain the earth. They have a long way to go towards that, but you can see their steps towards sustainability have really brought their costs down and motivated their employees and improved the quality of their products from their suppliers. That's the way they're moving towards that North Star goal. So the first step is to understand what the situation is, to build the STAR analysis, and the second step is to set this North Star goal. Then we begin to move into the organization, looking at the three components, transparency, engagement, and networks as organizational tools to make your organization sustainable for the long term.
So the early part is you map your business opportunities.
The early part is to know what's happening out there, to map your North Star goals, and then to start driving it through the organization. Those three aspects, transparency, engagement, and networks, can't be underestimated.
Can you explain?
Transparency is basically understanding you need to share information widely, both within your organization and outside your organization, in order to have a problem solved. You can try to stop information from being shared, but that's a fool's errand in this world. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, and I'm finding out things all the time that probably companies hadn't wanted me to know.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of information. Information flows right now.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely true.
I was on a plane with a man who owned a number of slaughterhouses. This was right after the Hallmark Westland meat recall, the largest meat recall in American history. This was after a Humane Society activist had gone into this meat plant and worked there for a couple of weeks and filmed with his cell phone pictures of employees beating cows with electric prods. They were kind of horrific pictures. And these pictures zoomed around the internet on YouTube. This recall was the result. So I asked the man, what are you doing? How are you changing your organization in the face of this recall, this mortal threat to your industry? And he said, well, we have a plan. We're going to ban cell phones from all of our slaughterhouses.
Okay.
That type of thought that we can just shut people out, we can close our eyes, and then there's no problem, is a real 20th century thought. Today, you have to figure out how can you get information out? How can you proactively release information? And how do you make sure that you can have people like activists on the outside or shareholders see problems, help you identify them, and use those as ways to fix them?
Now, the second thing you mentioned was engagement, and it's going to be particularly important after this recession because companies are going to have to re-engage their employees.
Well, absolutely. Any good manager knows the engagement and the passion of employees is directly equal to your success.
Absolutely.
Only if you have employees who come to work excited about the challenges they have for the day, really putting their whole selves into their work, willing to go the extra mile because they care passionately about their work, they care passionately about their team, and they believe in the company, that is the path to success.
Right.
Sustainability turns out to be an extraordinarily powerful tool to engage people, both young and old, in the work of your organization. By setting that North Star goal, that big aspirational goal, and giving people a real sense that they can head towards it, providing them some autonomy towards reaching to it, and then training and inviting them to be involved, companies across the world benefit. It allows employees to translate something that's a distant corporate goal into their everyday work.
Okay. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Well, in Walmart's case, you watch employees help the organization save energy, reduce packaging, and help guide suppliers to produce better products. Mm. In healthcare companies, we're watching employees who are engaged in sustainability coach other employees to lose weight and to comply with their medical regimen.
Mm.
Engagement, the idea of setting your own personal sustainability practice, can often be a way to get an employee to feel like that North Star goal connects to their everyday work. That's, of course, your dream, to align a corporate priority to the everyday work of your employees and have them take that up with full passion.
Adam, the third element you mentioned was networking. There's an important interest in partnering with other organizations to make these strategies work.
That's right. Using networks to solve problems and make your company more resilient and strong is absolutely critical to build the long-term sustainability of your company. That means asking simple questions of your employees. Do 90% of the emails go inside the company, or do many of them go outside of the company? You want to encourage your employees to have relationships with your competitors, with activists, with community members, and to start listening and hearing what they think, to talk to your customers beyond the confines of formalistic supplier relationships.
Absolutely.
So if your problem is we're not selling enough of our products, can you actually use the outside and inside networks to build a solution? Are you bringing your customers inside, your suppliers inside? Are you looking for the outside world to help you solve a problem? Or are you trying to just work it yourself, stick together and figure it out in a conference room for some hot and sweaty day? If you have a network-oriented mentality and you empower it with really highly purpose-oriented employees who are engaged and believe in what you do so you can trust them, and a transparency that allows you to actually share information widely so that when you get these groups of people together, they can actually do something with the information, what you'll find is the networks will help solve your problems so you don't have to suffer in silence.
Right, exactly.
There's lots of people, particularly in hard economic times, who need to work together to solve problems, and this is the opportunity to do that.
All right, I just want to verify something. The kinds of strategies you've identified really involve capital investment in eco-efficiency, right?
Eco-efficiency is low-hanging fruit for companies. I've not found a company that we've worked with, at least, that hasn't actually adopted eco-efficiency standards because it's just smart money that we've been leaving on the table. Why not be more efficient with your energy use, particularly as energy prices go higher? Why not reduce your toxic waste exposure?
Of course.
The only point is eco-efficiency, while an important part of sustainability, isn't the whole solution.
So you have to think more broadly in terms of core needs.
Well, absolutely. You have to look at what your business is. But a lot of CEOs and managers tend to put sustainability into this good-to-do, philanthropic, community relations, compliance bundle of their brain. That's a very powerful and important piece of their brain, but it's not the animalian, I will make a profit, this will help me pay my mortgage part of their brain.
So you're still using the new definition of sustainability.
Yeah, sustainability is about doing good things for the world, but more importantly, it's about making your business strong and safe for the long term.
Well, Adam, most people would say that's the leader's role. But an important part of creating sustainability through strategy involves middle management as well, with the same skills.
Absolutely. The CEO essentially has to lead, has to define this as a corporate priority, that we care about being around for the long term, we care about empowering our people to do something about it, and we're going to make this happen. And then they need to let go. Let it bubble from the bottom up.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot go onto a college campus or into a recruiting office for any major company and not hear sustainability talked about. This is a top-of-mind issue for new recruits, both at the MBA level and at the college level.
Yeah.
They care a lot about this. It's not negotiable. It matters to them. When you go up higher the chain, many employees who are near retirement age who've actually just been given another 5 years on the clock because their pensions weren't what they used to be, they're looking for some way to engage now with the company to make sure that the company that they've helped support during their careers will be around for the long haul. So we're seeing at both ends, the youngest and the oldest employees, the most experienced and the newest employees, demanding the organization adopt this. If you just let that energy float up, the CEO will find that these problems actually begin to solve themselves. This is a way for your organization to work better.
The book is entitled Strategy for Sustainability, and the author is Adam Werbach. Adam, thanks for being with us today.
Dave, thanks a bunch.
Remember, we'd really like your feedback, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanets.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.